Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Give an accounting of thy stewardship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think it is not true that most people today tend to be less religious than formerly. New religions are popping up all the time, and old ones are being revived. Remember, every religion has its rules, its rituals, its little routines, and its regular sacrifices. In a broad sense, religion today for some Americans could be a form of addiction, say to liquor or to drugs. It could be the worship of wealth or of self, some other sin. Sports in our society ranks very high as an organized and respected religion. The world, too, has its worshipers. They call it stewardship of the earth. Not exactly what our Lord had in mind when he used the term in today's gospel. I remember years ago hearing something in the family about my brother, one of my brothers and his wife. They had bought themselves a new car, but without any of the extras, with no air conditioning in particular. And this not for want of money, they're both quite comfortable, but for another reason. Well, it wasn't for penance or for mortification, directly speaking. She's a Protestant, and he lost his faith where he got his education at Notre Dame, my brother did. But they're both of them scientists, and they did it, no air conditioning, on principle, because of belief. Because, of course, Freon harms the ozone layer, or some such thing, and it must be foregone, the sacrifice made, propter mundum, for the sake of the world, specifically the environment. And on hot, humid days such as this will probably turn out to be, well, that's just something you'll have to offer up. In this case, I suppose it would go to Goddess Earth, because everybody needs to go green. And yet, when this world is no more, and the ozone and every other layer is lost to the eons, they will still be body and soul. Man will still be, but where will he be? So which is more important for our stewardship? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? You know today how it's trendy to say, well, I'm not a religious person, but I'm spiritual. The odd thing is that those who claim to be spiritual live very much according to the flesh. The soul is the more important of the two in that everlasting conflict between flesh and spirit. It is the very spark of life. It is the image of God in our own life. It is our form that makes us to be what we are. And having begun, a soul never comes to an end. So you and I, we're debtors, not to the flesh, not to material creation, not to today's orthodoxies and its worries about global warming and the ozone and the rest, and the gospel of going green, because if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. There's something else that claims our interest, and that is the immortal soul. Still, the body is not to be hated, nor is it to be despised. It was formed in the beginning by God himself. One of the great errors of modern materialistic thought is evolution, that somehow the human body blindly evolved from lower forms of matter. That's one of the great heresies of the day, evolutionism, a great Dominican theologian, Garrigou Lagrange, sums up the explanation as to why that can't be true. You see, only the higher can explain the lower. Otherwise, more would come from less. But that's exactly the gospel they're giving you all the time in the world with this evolutionism. The perfect comes out of the less perfect. We're on our way, says Teilhard de Chardin, to some kind of an omega perfect state. And this without any cause or explanation or logical reason. No, the body of man was made by God. And for that reason, it possesses itself a spiritual dignity. That's why we have to dress modestly. That's why we have to take proper care of the body, diet, health, exercise, and all of the rest. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which we respect. It is the completion and the instrument of the soul. What's the problem here? Well, original sin. That's what makes flesh to fight against spirit, and that kind of a pull to evil we feel in our members, St. Paul says, that's concupiscence. This is the loss of order that made Eden to be a paradise. That is to say, the body was subject to the soul was subject to God, and everybody was happy. And that's why everybody is basically unhappy today until we get it right, that subjection. The soul, then, is more important than the body. It is the direct creation of God, an interesting proof that there is such a thing as a soul, that man has a spiritual nature, is that we are enabled to understand and to know about spiritual things. The effect here indicates the cause. Water doesn't rise above its own level, and a fountain always sends out streams. Atheistic scientists will taunt a believer, and they'll say, "What? Well, you believe in a soul. Where is what part of your body? Where's your soul?" And we would answer, "The soul is everywhere, and it is nowhere. It is spiritual, just like the thoughts that proceed from you. They can't be seen. You can't touch them or weigh them or handle them like material things. But those thoughts of yours, they're real. The soul, furthermore, is immortal, unlike our body. The body is going to disintegrate at death because it is composed of different parts which will separate and corrupt. But this couldn't happen to the soul because the soul is essentially simple. It has no parts. It's indivisible. This soul of ours is the very seat of life. You know that it is immortal." Thomas Aquinas cites a great principle any one of us could tell just from study, even the study of science and of nature. Nothing is ever annihilated. It might take another appearance or form or be reduced or divided, but nothing created is ever annihilated. Secondly, the other proof for the existence of the soul is that God has promised eternal reward or eternal punishment. You and I are born with some sense of that, aren't we? It's a sense of justice, a belief, too, in the afterlife. Unless there were a place of reward and of punishment, wouldn't this earth, this life, be a cruel and a kind of a sardonic joke for so many people who suffer from injustice? But our Lord said, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for justice. You shall have your fill." Not in this world, but in the next. Finally, this soul of ours, immortal, spiritual, is also free. Free will. You can see that from just a simple truth of daily life. You have a choice. You can make up your mind to do something or not, to do it, to choose between two opposites. See the difference. You may be angry and frustrated with your computer some days, and you might think this machine has a mind of its own, but of course it really doesn't. It just acts as it's been programmed to. You may get annoyed with your pets, but the pets just act according to the instinct that God gave them. When they hear the can opener go click, 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 why then they know that food's about ready to come, and all of a sudden the cats perk up. That's the nature of an animal soul. Whereas you are capable of ignoring the food when it is being proffered, and of staying quite calm when the computer doesn't function as you would like it to, because you have a free will. Give an accounting of thy stewardship. Our Lord wasn't talking about, in first order anyway, the stewardship of the earth, some great green commandment of a new religion. No, the first stewardship is that of your body and of your soul, which we can use or abuse, but for which we must one day give an accounting. The body is made to serve the soul, and the soul freely to serve Almighty God, so that together, united forever, body and soul may be happy with God in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.